well done to our constituencies and it is appreciated. And also from common sources, very far from this province. So we thank you for making a special effort to make this meeting, which is important. I am formally opening the meeting now. The interviewees are here, nominees, and obviously, I certainly hope everyone had a pleasant family weekend. I'm sure it was also a busy constituency weekend. And then let me consult with the officially here with you, with our committee secretary, as to the apologies we have, the official ones here. We do have one from the Honourable Line, indicating it was just beyond, it was just impossible given the prior arrangements to make certain changes. So we have to be cognizant of that as well, of course. I'm not sure of any other apology. I think we are all aware that Honourable Pravasa, in and out of hospital and is still, if you like, on medical leave. And then I'd like to check with our Honourable Lavinia, and Lavinia, I saw just walking in, and Alana. So if you could just advise us of other apologies.
It's
a slightly different issue because he recused himself from the process. So clearly the committee agreed to that. So he would have been here, but he's been recused. So I think we must, I have to consult just on the quorum issue here as to, this is a formal meeting, and the quorum is 8. We have been advised by the committee secretary that, while not advisable, if we're not going to take a decision as such, we can proceed. And obviously, we rely on him in that regard, although I would appeal to our whip to follow this up. The apologies that are not received, if they are under your jurisdiction, as it were. No. All right. And we already have the DA situation, the IP agenda. Do we have something from Honourable Pashlele?
The government actually responded to my SMS this morning and said the constituency matters that need to attend to, and that's why I won't be able to. Then actually for the rest of the week, it's also closed for the rest of the week.
Smaller parties that size, if I could put it quite clearly, different policies govern the attendance for very obvious reasons and so on. So there it is, I think we can proceed, Honourable Members, am I right? Is there anything you wish to just raise before we proceed? In that case, I think we will ask Mr. Herman to go and call the next nominee, that's Mr. Swana. welcome Mr. Swana. We understood the difficulties you had, and they were communicated to us, to this committee. And of course, we've been dealing with Mr. Herman, the committee secretary, throughout this process so far. My name is Joan Fox, chairing the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry. Mr. Herman, as I say, is the committee secretary, with whom you have been in contact. And on my left is the content specialist, Ms. Hurling. And on my immediate right in the front row here are members, honourable members of the Portfolio Committee of Trade and Industry. Anyone else you see in this room is an observer and is not part of the decision-making process. So you're very, very welcome. And the way this will proceed is that we received your CV, thank you, and we appreciate you making yourself available as a nominee. We have a few questions, having looked at the CV, studied them, to just share this engagement with you and learn more about you. And we will ask those questions, and after each question, please respond by turning on your mic. When your response is complete, please switch off the mic. And I'm sure, and we just learned that you shouldn't get too close. that's not too helpful. I don't think you were too close, but it's just a point. Thank you. Honourable members, it's right, Honourable Mandebeshaven, Honourable Khadebe, Honourable Kamalu, after a weekend away, Honourable Labenia. No, did you have your hand up on? Yes, Honourable Labenia. And Honourable Ndekalana. We're going to go in that order, please.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome to you, Mr. Swana. Mr. Swana, could you tell us about your past experience and relate that to the contribution that you would be able to make to the lottery sport? And what, in your opinion, would be the main criteria for a member of the lottery sport?
First, I must refer to my experience. I have been a manager and served in a number of board. I think a board is a committee at the strategic apex of an organization, leading the organization, controlling the organization. That if I have to I've done that, it's in my CV. If I have to say what are the main criteria for serving on the board, The first thing is that the person who is going to serve on the board should have the capacity to lead. By that I mean to participate in a positive manner in the direction and the control of the organization. That I believe I have. The second one, which is very important today, is to have the integrity. That is the character or the honesty. And the third one, which I also believe is important, is an independent thinking. This looks like a conflict because in a board you need consensus, but you should be able to express your views independently. Otherwise, you will not be able to serve faithfully to the organization you are in. I think I would like to stop there.
David?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Mr. Swan, you are welcome here. As an aspirant member of the board, what we envisage as the main functions of the National Lottery Board.
The main functions of the National Lottery Board are set out in the Act, the National Lottery Act. In brief, what the government of South Africa decided to do was to exploit the tendency of ordinary people to gamble. And to gamble responsibly, and the money that is raised in the lottery should be used to advance certain causes. So the lottery board is to establish the lottery, to run the lottery. It is using the National Lottery Board trust, distribution trust to distribute the funds to where the causes in sport, charities, and to run the organization, the lottery properly, and also to regulate the lottery industry, because it must have dignity. There are other organizations that would like to run lotteries. But it must bring them to book because they have to abide by the law.
Honorable Kamalu.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Mr. Sun,
one of the functions of the board is to advise the minister on the efficacy of the current legislation. In your opinion, what are some of the challenges in the implementation of the legislation? Are there any areas or issues that you maintain should be brought to the immediate attention of the minister?
I am not very close to the lottery industry, but I think from a regulatory perspective, there is need to ensure that the lottery board is empowered to act successfully in the process of regulating the industry. As I said at the beginning, that the lottery was established so that there can be responsible gambling. Almost there are other aspects of gambling that are dangerous to society, because at the end of the day, people need to earn money properly, but when gambling gets out of hand, then it must be regulated, and I believe that power should be vested in the lottery board. I know that the board has put some legislative proposals to the minister, and the minister has not yet responded to some of them. That is my understanding.
Yes, sir. Honorable Lavenia. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon, Mr. Swana. I'm sure, Mr. Sana, you are aware that some NGOs and other institutions are dependent on the provision of community lottery funding to implement certain programs. And often this funding is not provided within appropriate time frames to enable these institutions to actually perform their mandates. How would you address the delays in distributing funding experience in the institutional fund? And what remedial actions would you propose to improve the aid and relations between the National Lottery Board and the distributing agencies?
I think the first step that needs to be looked at is an administrative one. I know in the course of events, you'll be saying the distributing agencies need to have standards that if a request for funding is received, then the investigation will take such a period. There is obviously a problem with that, because a lot of those NGOs are disadvantaged themselves. So you need further investigation to satisfy the decision makers. So that needs probably some mentoring by other organizations that will just look at the processing of the applications. By that I mean the application, is the application meeting the criteria of the funding organization. And the other one, because when you distribute money to deserving organizations, you want to be sure that money is used properly. So you need an oversight so that the decision maker can have courage because of success stories. Otherwise, when you are not having successes on your side, you are not encouraged to make decisions and even to take risks at times with little information, because NGOs are not so equipped at times, though they may have a big need to satisfy. That is how I see it on face value, but that can be elaborated when one looks at the details.
Thank you. Honorable
Chief Amala. Can you briefly share with us what did you identify as the strategic objective or priority for the National Lottery Board over a 5-year period? You know, the board is starting, here's our 5 years, and what's our priority for the 5 years, particularly or generally objective. But linked to that, share with us what you see as systems and processes that you would implement to monitor and evaluate progress in achieving those very same objectives and priorities.
The objectives need to be specific, time-bound, and measurable. Now, you are saying what sort of objectives would we need to set? In my view, looking at the organization from outside, I think one of the objectives still would be to market the board, the functions of the board. When I looked at the number of millionaires that have benefited from the lottery board, my understanding was that the areas that are benefiting are what you would call the developed areas of South Africa, out there, Western province, and so on, and the rural areas have not benefited as much. So that is important, that it should be marketed. And the next thing that will happen is that the revenue from I have not quantified that, but I believe you need to up that. The revenue needs to increase. I know it has increased. penetrates the ovaries in the past 5 years, but it may penetrate, but that is going to create pressure on the distributing agencies. But that to me is good. The third one, which is important, is dealing with complaints, with the negatives that come up, dealing with them as speedily as possible, because when you deal with lotteries, with money, there will obviously be some negatives. If you are able to say this is to be done within such a period, I believe in putting a period. If it's days, it's days. If it's a month, it's a month. That this is going to be done. And then there should be a way of saying then of the three things that I've just mentioned out of hand. Who is monitoring the effectiveness of our marketing? Who is monitoring the effectiveness of because revenue, you can measure revenue, but the effectiveness of dealing with complaints, the oversight responsibility, who is doing that and feeding it back to the board?
Thank you. Honourable Labenia had a follow-up of that now Honourable Kumaru.
It's a question, Honourable. Thanks. Mr. Swan, how do you understand the difference between the role of the Chief Executive Officer and the board? Also, what is the relationship between the board, the minister, and the parliament?
Let me start in the middle with the board. The board has the responsibility of running the lottery and is accountable to Parliament through the Minister of Trade and Industry, and it needs to advise the Minister of Trade and Industry all the time. Then the Chief Executive Officer is responsible for the operations, the initiation of the strategy, because the Chief Executive Officer is full time. The initiation of the strategy and the approval by the board and the evaluation of that strategy from time to time by the board against the set criteria, and to build teams within the organization that are going to carry out the strategy of the organization and look at the vision, probably a 20-year vision or a 30-year vision, as to how far we are getting to that vision. So the Chief Executive Officer interfaces with the board all the time, because the strategy is a way of saying this is where we are going, with what we are going, this is how far we are getting, if there are any obstacles, how we can overcome them. So the Chief Executive Officer is an instrument of the board, is the instrument at the end of even the government to the board, obviously. So he is accountable and responsible responsible, he or she is accountable, responsible to the board for the effective operation of the board. Of the board.
Thank you. Honorable Khadebe.
Thank you, Chairperson. As you spoke about the strategic objective on the other question there, your colleague has said that those objectives must be smart, specific, measurable, achievable, transparent. But what is also critical now is the way you extend the work of the chief executive officer. How will you ensure that the realistic targets for the new realistic, attainable, assessed, and that his or her performance is measured accurately or objectively?
The best way, obviously, is to state the objectives. The two parties come to an agreement. That is the board and the chief executive. They need to agree that these are the objectives of the board, the lottery board. And the chief executive is going to ensure that those are attained within the specific period and within quality parameters as well. That gets into an agreement. But that agreement must be monitored. Not monitored at the end of the contract, but within definite periods. Because if you have objectives, let's say 5-year objectives, you have your, then there must be objectives which are attainable within a quarter, within 6 months, within a year, within 3 years, and that is how you continue to measure on a continuous basis. Whether there are any new factors which are affecting the attainment of the objectives, and whether the objectives have been attained within the contract.
So at this point then, may Honourable Linda Vestreven, Honourable Lavenia, Honourable Chikalana.
Mr. Swana, we have written your CV about the senior management positions that you have held in Sydney. Tell us more about the high-level responsibilities that you have been or are currently involved in, and for example, what other board memberships or senior-level management experience do you have?
My experience in the in management has been to act as a chief executive officer, in which case I was responsible for the initiation, the presentation and the implementation of the strategy. The strategy contains many aspects, and to attain the strategy is not just the brain of the chief executive officer. It is the ability to work with other people, to get the talents of other people, operating in a collective to attain the objective. For example, when I was in the development corporation, we needed to state what sort of development approach we're going to have. And we agreed that it was a bottom-up approach. And then what sort of things would have to do to attain that. And we found that we have to be closer to the people, closer to the institutions, and even support the institutions that were working towards the self-development of the people. At that approach has its problems, because the bottom up means developing the people, the top down is something that you can do quickly and it can be visible. You can build the heart, you can do all sorts of things quickly, and yet people are not abused. That is the experience that I had as a chief executive. Oh, by a long time, I was able to interact with a lot of people, to be able to respond to communities, to respond to institutions, at the same time served on a number of boards. I served on the White Coast board, I served on Hans Mielinski's board, I served on the Development Bank board, which dealt with a lot of projects in the country. And again, the contribution, you look at the project, is the project sustainable, is the project, what are the benefits of the project, to whom, and how long will it continue. I participated in a number of those projects in different parts of the community of South Africa. In my last years, I got into the presidential process, which was very difficult because we had to introduce several projects in rural areas, irrigation schemes, teaching them, all of them, you know, like a crash course, get them down. It was the thing, but I learned something that people, and also establish institutions. You won't establish a dipping tank without a dipping committee, which is going to ensure that the work continues into the future. So I have served in those many boards, and I wouldn't say it was easy, but I have served in them, and I have not been told that I did anything wrong, really.
Thank you, Honorable Lavinia. Thank you, Honorable Chair. And Mr. Swana, what suggestions would you bring to ensure that CPOs and NGOs that are deserving are able to access funds if they lack the capacity to properly apply?
I think there is no ready solution in my pocket that I can take out, other than to interact with them. I think the first thing is that they must know that they need to apply. The second thing, when you receive the application, you don't reject it just because it is lacking technically. But then we need to do what the Department of Trade and Industry did. It says there are non-financial assistance that is to be provided to people who seek to develop themselves. So that is partly training, partly. I know in business we have CEDA, which assists people, gives them advice, assists them to draft financial, to draft the business plans. I believe that one of the most important things that have to be done is to ensure that people are able at least to plan. That is, and to put that plan on paper, and one must be assisted by certain institutions that are agents of the board. I find that the number of state officials is one of the they are dealing with a business plan. I see no difference between business plan for establishing a shopping center or a business plan for establishing an HIV AIDS training program.
But Donna, what strategies should be or implemented in order to assess the impact of funds that have been dispersed to various individuals and entities? Impact assessment.
Yeah. That is very interesting for many people who get money for the upliftment of others. What you would need literally to go and visit the institution. And I think you shouldn't wait for too long. Because if you wait for too long, you may not even find the institution. The first impact is the existence of the institution itself. That's the visit to see, is the applicant here, are the beneficiaries around, are they doing what they said they were going to do? So you need some warm bodies to visit this. I know the picture, but without that, I can't see. I know there are many funders who have put money into this country, and the projects that they have funded are enough in stock in the countryside. You can see, if you are lucky, you will see a tree. There's another project there, another project there, another project there. So we need the eye of the funder closer to the people. And it must be continuously. I believe if the funder is known to see what is happening, then there's a better chance of the organizations that are funded existing into the future. But if the funder is somewhere in Pretoria, Johannesburg, or Cape Town for that matter, there's no chance. Then you need to monitor to see what did they say they were going to do at the beginning. What are they going to do now? Are they still together? Because you know, poverty has an ability to cause division among people. Immediately money arrives, then the relatives. That is why I say the institution, if the institution is still there and the program is still there, it's okay, but it must be seen by somebody. Whether it's an agent, but somebody or and on behalf of.
Does anyone wish to pose another question? A more general nature? Right, let me pose one myself. at the beginning of our conversation, you indicated that in reference to the functions of the board and with respect to the legislation or challenges and so on, that there were a number of areas which may well require a review and so on, and some perhaps had already been reported. You indicated that you were aware that the NLD had made such referrals to the minister, but that nothing has been done. In what particular piece of legislation were you referring to, which you felt was impacting or impeding the work of the NLD? Back to the beginning of our conversation, or perhaps we misunderstood you.
my understanding was the was that the National Lottery Board had problems, I think in litigation, the local Stanley, I may not be very detailed, but as in the regulation of the lottery industry, that is, I may not be very accurate, but that is my understanding. I don't have the details.
You know, as there was quite a different reference to it, I was just wondering. I also noticed here that you worked a lot in the boards related to rural areas, for example, and you were referring to certain strategies and indicating that, you know, a way to support the applicants was to be there on the spot and so on. Of course, that was a slower process, but in terms of the applicants who require these grants, clearly they would want these processes expedited, and yet on the other hand, as you indicate, the top down may get results but not be the best way to go about it. Now, I just wonder if you could just expand a little bit on meeting the challenge of the CEOs, if you like, the local communities in the rural areas and so on, in accessing, while still at the same time, as you put it, not even being aware how to go about the application or aware what there was. What measures would you implement, if you are a board member, to expedite that process during the development approach within the community?
Yeah, this is, Chuck Gerson, this is an unsolved question, because you need speed in delivering assistance, but you need quality so that at the end of time, probably about 5 years or even 10 years, you're able to see progress. I would start by identifying the exact problems that people meet. There are some enlightened people, even in poor communities. There are even institutions that one can use, even in poor communities, that can be used to assist in the application, and also to assist in the implementation, for that matter, so that the board gets regular reports. I know reports are very annoying to recipients of funds, especially CPOs. They don't like to be monitored. But when you use public funds, you need to know that they have gone to the causes for which they were applied for. My suggestion, therefore, is while you are processing them to the best of existing ability, we need to be looking at finding other agents who will assist the people in preparing the applications.
Thank you very much, Phil, for coming here and engaging with us this afternoon. We do appreciate it. And certainly Mr. Herman will continue to keep in touch with you so that you know about the process and the progress. And we certainly wish you a safe journey home again. Thank you for making yourself available once again. Honourable members, I raised this issue last week about the oversight by the Economic Development, you will recall, some of those members who may be interested in joining Economic Development in Atlantis to one of the companies that had been assisted by IDC, one of the distressed companies, that the chairperson had agreed that members of this portfolio committee could join them. So the committee secretary didn't get any response from yourself, and I certainly didn't. So I don't know if you've had a review of that and you're able just now, because he does require that information now, just to indicate to us, is there anyone I understand Honourable Mabasa, who is sitting on Economic Development, will be joining them, as will, I'm sure, Honourable Lyne. But it may have been of value to those who haven't been to Atlantis and so on to have... but I want to make this clear. This is not compulsory, but I'm just indicating the value that could be derived. That's all. So, clearly a one-to-one quickly in the next 10 minutes, a note to the secretary.
By the way,
the transport is provided, so it's not a question of hiking to Atlanta. It's I think the operative issue for us is that they will return before 1:30. Are we asked for one? Yes, I think we have to. Just a little show of hands. I know my eyesight's got bad, but I wasn't somewhere it was this bad. Mr. Herman now feels you are a little bit too much pressure there. He gives you another hour just to feel comfortable. All right, can we proceed with the institute? just delay the nominee about 2 minutes. For those who want coffee or tea. Thank you.